start again then. Good morning. This is the monthly member outreach call for the Order of Malta American Association. My name is Chris Rutkowski, who has the most happy task of hosting these calls every month. Today we are very blessed to have as our speaker Father Joseph Cavoto, a member of the Holy Name Province of the Church of St. Francis in New York City. Father Joe is a magistral chaplain, a spiritual director, a licensed clinical social worker, and a chaplain to the sub-priory of Our Lady of Lourdes. For over 20 years, Father Joe has worked with clergy and religious as a formator, therapist, and spiritual director. Father Joe was introduced to the Order of Malta while working as director of pastoral care at St. Vincent Hospital in Harrison, New York, under the direction of our chancellor, Dr. Richard Malone. Father Joe has accompanied members of the Order to Lourdes on the Lourdes pilgrimage many times. And here's a quote from Father Joe. The Lourdes pilgrimage and being associated with the Order of Malta has and continues to be an important part of my ongoing conversion. I can point to significant moments in my Franciscan life and admit that there was a grace that unfolded in surprising ways. He goes on to say, I am grateful to be simply a companion to sisters and brothers in particular moments in their life journey. I consider it a sacred trust to listen to their stories, which are for me echoes of the gospel we try to live each day. And with that, I'll pass it to Father Joe.
Well, good morning. I'm delighted to spend these few moments with you. I'm at the St. Francis Retreat House in Easton, Pennsylvania. This morning, we are having a regional day. Periodically, about twice a year, we gather the friars from different parts of the province for a couple of days of reflection and renewal. So I've taken myself away from them for a little bit to spend these few moments with you. And so I am very happy to be here. I'd like to begin by calling us into prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the grace and peace of God our Father, the love of the Lord Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And with your spirit.
This morning, in the context of the World Day of Prayer for the Sick, and for many of us who will soon celebrate the feast of our beloved Lady of Lourdes, I invite you to listen to a bit of scripture, to reflect with me on its significance to the feast, especially in light of our ministry to serve the sick and the poor. First, let's listen to the reading from the Epistle of St. James.
Again, a reading from the letter of James. Beloved, is anyone among you suffering? He or she should pray. Is anyone in good spirits? He or she should sing a song of praise. Is anyone among you sick? He or she should summon the presbyters of the church, and they should pray over him or her, and anoint him or her with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him or her up. If he or she has committed any sins, he or she shall be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The fervent prayer of a righteous person is very powerful.
When I listen to these words, I'm reminded of the times that we have together celebrated the sacrament of the sick. Perhaps with a loved one in their last moment, or at your parish church. Practically almost whenever we gather as areas of our association, and certainly during our time in Lourdes, we never miss the opportunity to celebrate the sacrament of the sick. The Catechism of the Catholic Church reminds us the anointing or the sacrament of the sick is a communal liturgical celebration, whether it takes place at the bedside or at Mass. The elements of the sacrament are the same: the proclamation of the word and the outward action of the sacrament, these form an indivisible whole. The liturgy of the word, preceded by an act of repentance, opens the celebration. In a true sense, God's word opens and readies us. The words of Christ, the witness of the apostles, simply our being together, awaken the faith of the sick person and of the community who surround them, to ask the Lord for the strength of his Spirit. When we celebrate the sacrament of the sick together, the well and the strong, it reminds us that our Savior accompanies us from the moment of our conception to our final breath. Then, our Savior waiting to meet us in the promised place, we take our first breath, our first eternal breath of resurrection. In the interim, you and I try to imitate Jesus, to echo in our words and deeds loving expressions of Jesus' saving act. It's such a wonderful thing that we celebrate the sacrament of the sick, not simply as extreme unction, as many of us recall it when we were young, but we celebrate the sacrament of the sick because it is, we understand illness to be a natural part of our life. Thank God we enjoy many days of health and wellness, but there are times when we find ourselves infirm, sometimes with serious infirmity. The letter of St. James that we just heard describes the essential elements of the life we try to live. Namely, St. James says, the community is asked if there is anyone sick among them. It invites us to be aware of one another, to look out for one another. The elders, the priests are called. Hands are laid on the sick. They are anointed with oil. These essential elements help us recognize a reflection of our vocation as Christians, more as members of the Order of Malta, members of a true religious community. We are as the Order of Malta, as chaplains together and with our Milan. We are truly a Christian community. We recognize a need. We respond to a need. As members of the Order of Malta, that from our earliest days, this was the divine invitation extended to Blessed Gerard to care for the infirm pilgrim. I'm sure we might all appreciate the dreaded thought of being far from home when suffering even a common cold, let alone the sudden onset of a life-threatening illness, should happen when we are far from our familiar places. I can certainly say myself that last year I went to Lourdes certainly to be a helper, and by Saturday afternoon when we had the Eucharistic procession, I came down with a sudden and violent attack of vertigo. So I know what it's like to be away from home and to suffer an illness. But Blessed Gerard was divinely invited to care for people who were far from home. And so this Blessed Gerard received as a vocation. And from generation to generation, this has passed to us as the charism the unifying action of the Holy Spirit. We, knights, dames, captains, members of the Order of Malta, we receive this as our vocation. This divine invitation, recognized by hearing, seeing, doing. It's easy to imagine, especially in a much simpler time, that the common decency of a clean bed, a warm meal, would seem to these pilgrims as top-flight care in today's world. These simple gestures of human decency, things we carry out today in so many ways. I'm often reminded of the many times we have celebrated Mass with Bishop Curlin in the grotto. Bishop Curlin, now at home with God, was fine to remind us that coming to Lourdes, every pilgrim, strong or weak, is a malade. I can still hear him saying, "We are all malades." Sometimes carrying us as sure as we endeavor to carry another. In some obvious or hidden way, there is something within each of us that longs to be healed. Suffice to say, maybe only God knows this until we are ready to know it ourselves. Returning to the letter of James, there's the idea that infirmity isn't necessarily a solitary burden. Walking through the domain, there is every imaginable infirmity. Then, I think, as you might think, as you look at these spaces, what are the other infirmities not so visible to us? The hidden hurts of mental illness, the prayer for recovery from addiction, spiritual infirmity, the desire that our loved ones be part of the church. The Catechism states that we are, and to the extent any one of us is able, infirmity reminds us that we are in union with the passion of Christ. St. James says that there's the idea that infirmity isn't necessarily a solitary burden. The sacrament, now more often than not experienced at Mass, even with frequency, underscores that illness is not or need not be a solitary journey. Again, the Catechism explains that by the grace of this sacrament, the sick person receives the strength, the gift of uniting oneself more closely to Christ's passion. Meaning that when we bring each other to the sacrament, we are consecrated as we were at baptism and as we are in the other sacraments. We are set apart. We are ready. God's word has prepared us. We are disposed to meet the living Christ. In the sacrament of the sick, the infirm are invited to recognize their participation in our Savior's redemptive passion. Their bearing a particular illness or even their suffering because of it can be a way to acquire new meaning, a participation in the saving work of Jesus. Suffering has the possibility, with faith, to acquire this new meaning. That is why we cherish the malade. We care respectfully and with loving gestures as if we were carrying Christ, receiving the Malad with the same disposition that we have when we receive the Lord in the Eucharist. You will recall in the fifth chapter of Luke's Gospel the story of the paralytic lowered by his friend. Jesus acknowledges their extraordinary expression of loving devotion to their frail friend. Jesus suggests, and St. James suggests, the believers are invited to create a caring community. That is, caretakers, the elders, the priests, neighbors all around, doing something for the sick person until there's a resolution. While it can be said that health is a gift, it follows that the sick among us are a gift to the well. We thank God for the help that we know, but we ask God for the grace to receive those who are sick among us also as a gift, for they bring us closer into an appreciation of Jesus' saving mission, of Jesus' total giving of himself for others. And so when the sick give themselves to us, it is a mutual exchange. When we extend ourselves in the act of communion to receive Christ in the Eucharist, it is Christ who receives us as much as we receive him. It follows then, if God is rich in mercy, we cannot be miserly in our work. If God is rich in mercy, we cannot be miserly in our work. From this, we in this order embrace every day in what was given to us to embrace. The eight-pointed cross that reminds us of the Beatitudes. That this cross has embraced us as much as we have embraced it. We take it as a sacred lifelong duty to be not only mindful of the sick and the poor among us, more to be extraordinarily, even extravagantly expressive of the frail in our deeds and in our attitudes. Why? Because God is rich in mercy. We cannot be miserly in our work. During the Lord's pilgrimage, we often sing what I like to imagine to be the anthem of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Christ be our light. If God gave me the gift of a singing voice, I might try to sing it, but I don't want to impose a penance on you. Looking around the domain, it's almost blinding to experience the brilliance of our beloved Malad, carried by our own sister and brother dames and knights. I'm overwhelmed by this. And we certainly know how overwhelmed they are when they realize that we're going to carry them everywhere and how they resist it. And yet, within time, they settle into it. 3 years ago at her canonization, Pope Francis commented, "Mother Teresa, in all aspects of her life, was a generous dispenser of divine mercy, making herself available for everyone through her welcome, through her defense of human life, through her ceaseless cry to protect those abandoned or discarded. A few moments such as ours this morning provides us an opportunity to step back, to look over as we might when we are preparing taxes or other things, to see what life has given me. Even more important, what more I can give to life. Because God is rich in mercy, we cannot be miserly in our works of charity. If not in carrying out the work, then in our attitude and the things we say. If the years make us unable to do the hands-on works of mercy or charity, then at least in our attitude, as I like to say, in that little bubble that's over everyone's head, the things that we say or we don't say but we think about the poor, the infirm, all of us, as we are able, becoming advocates for affordable, accessible health care, so that no one is abandoned or discarded, that in our attitudes, our actions, and certainly in our heart, that sacred arena, we echo Mother Teresa. For Jesus reminds us, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Our deeds must shine brightly so that the poor, the sick, the immigrant cannot be stored away as if out of sight or out of mind. If Christ be our light, then the salt and light that Jesus recognizes are our hand, our attitude, our comment that remind us always God is rich in mercy because the sick, the infirm, the poor, the immigrant are always available to us. Our richly merciful God invites us, challenges us, to not be miserly in our charity, our mercy. For the Lord always waiting for us, almost at every turn, waits with us by the bed of the infirm, by those on our bread lines, our soup kitchens, even most assuredly at our borders. Rather, we can seek to be generous, even limitless in our measure, trying always to learn from the Holy Gospel a spirit of deep, generous Christian devotion. Because we are followers of Jesus, it's never easy to read the headline and not wonder, well, there must be something wrong with what we see on the news or here among folk. There's something not quite right when we hear the news that children are separated from parents, or imagining parents learning that their child is ill, then not being with them, not having the opportunity, the ability, the permission to be with them. Or worse, learning the child died among strangers. Pope Francis, in his words for this year's World Day of the Sick, comments, for Mother Teresa, mercy was the salt which gave flavor to her work. It was the light that shone in the darkness of the many who no longer had tears to shed for their poverty and suffering. Pope Francis goes on to say that Mother Teresa's mission was to the peripheries, to the borders, remains for us today an eloquent witness to God's closeness to the poorest of the poor. And so, sisters and brothers, let us conclude in prayer. Holy God, continue to stir within us a spirit of deep, generous Christian devotion. Help us to learn every day from your holy gospel. Help us strive to promote God's glory, the world's peace, all that may benefit the Order of Malta, all that may benefit our country, the world, who so need the merits of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Through the intercession of Our Lady of Lourdes, may we ever keep before us this resolve. As God is rich in mercy, we cannot be miserly in our work. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. May the Lord give you peace.
Well, thank you, Father Joe. Thank you for those very thoughtful and very timely comments as we approach the World Day of the Sick in just a handful of days here this coming Monday. It's good to get a reminder of all the gifts that we've been given, especially as members of the Order of Malta, and also be reminded that we need to be generous in how we respond to those gifts to our Lords, the sick and the poor. So thank you, Father Joe. And thank you to all of you who joined us this morning. Remind you, of course, that we'll have another call on the first Wednesday of the month of March. Encourage you, too, to bring along some friends to the next call. And if they weren't able to make this particular call here in February, remind them that these calls are placed on the website and are available to be listened to again and again in the months to come. So again, Father Joe, thank you for your comments. Thank you all for attending, and look forward to being with you all again next month. Goodbye.